Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines. We would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher in the studio, along with Richard Piper.
Hello.
And we're certainly looking forward to your calls on today's broadcast. Richard, we got a great email today. You sent out email about what's been happening in the ministry of late on radio. And, you know, it's an exciting time to be a part of what Basic Gospel is all about. And so we received this from Jose. He said, I just donated to your ministry. Your podcast has helped me, and I'm excited to get your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to help stop this human effort of mine and start to live in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I was really encouraged by that. And I think, you know, that's a message we all need to get because it's so easy to approach the Christian life through human effort, to say, this is the resources that I have at hand, and so I'm going to use them to the best of my ability. But human effort is never a part of the plan as far as God is concerned. It's always a by grace through faith proposition. God initiates in love and grace and mercy. We respond by faith. And in that, we get to bear the fruit of God's Spirit.
Yes.
That's how this Christian life is really supposed to work. So I'm grateful for Jose's email. Thank you for sending that to us. And, you know, I hope many more people are being touched in the same way that Jose is. Yesterday, we introduced a topic, what does freedom look like in the midst of trials and tribulations? We had some good response to yesterday's program. I was very encouraged by that as well. But why I bring that up is because in the midst of trials and tribulations, sometimes those trials and tribulations expose our weakly or fleshly weaknesses.
Yes.
And we become very vulnerable to the temptations of this world. And this is where we need to really rely on the grace of God and rely on the truth of God and rely on God's presence inside of us. Otherwise, we're gonna take our minds down a path that leads to, you know, anger and fear, and it'll eventually move us down to self-pity.
Yes.
And then we'll start saying to ourselves, woe is me, I deserve just a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of something to make me feel a little better about myself. And at that point, those temptations just swarm around you. And you have all kinds of choices. And that's, you know, you're saying, I deserve a little bit of pleasure. And so you pick and choose, and off you go. And whatever you pick, whatever you choose, you know, when it's all said and done, it's like, gosh, why did I do that? Then you start beating yourself up because you made that choice. And that's how this cycle works. So we have to recognize that, yeah, we're free, and those temptations can come. There's a freedom to move forward. But if we move forward with those temptations, we're actually taking a step back into bondage.
Yes.
And we have to recognize that. So what does it look like to you, this freedom in the midst of circumstances? We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear, you know, just some of the things that you've been through as far as the trials and tribulations are concerned. Maybe some of you are right in the middle of them, and you are feeling those temptations. Well, today's a day to pick up the phone and give us a call here at Basic Gospel. Again, Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Christopher, and we welcome you at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
As you were talking there, something popped into my mind about what I've had to learn over the last 20 years regarding my own responses to such things. And when I find myself making arguments that sound really honorable on my part, that's usually an indicator that I'm in some amount of danger, yeah, because I'm trying to talk myself into something, whether it's working harder for Jesus or looking for some little thing to make me feel better, whatever it is. I always tend to say, well, you know, this is the right thing to do. And, you know, it's honorable, it's life-affirming, and very rarely does it turn out to be that way. And the Spirit has to say, Richard, pay attention, that's not going to be good for you.
So, yeah.
We've got a question here from Chris, who lives in Watauga, Texas, just down the road a little bit, listens to us on The Word FM. This is about revelation, but it's really about this fear issue and what we do with this sort of thing. Will we as Christians see the Antichrist, or will we be raptured before he comes on the scene? If we are not raptured first, will we be able to recognize him? Why does he ask the question? I have a fear of being deceived by whoever is the Antichrist.
Well, I think it's important for us to recognize some truth out of the Word of God. When John wrote his first letter, mm-hmm, we're not sure about the date of that. Some scholars put it around 95 AD, mm-hmm, so some 60 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Other scholars date it much earlier, maybe before 70 AD, because there's no mention in that letter of the destruction of Jerusalem,
correct,
the destruction of the temple. So we're not sure when it was written, but it was very close to the actual event of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And at that time, John wrote that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world.
Yes.
So we keep trying to identify a singular person, and the Bible keeps telling us that this spirit of Antichrist is already here.
Uh-huh.
Deception is already at work in our midst. We see it through the world system, through the world order. We feel it in advertising and movies and just everything around us. This world is not a friendly place as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned. The world, just by its nature, since it's under the control of the evil one, is anti-Christ.
Yes.
So that deception is already here. Now, how do we combat deception? That's the real question, isn't it?
Yes.
And how we combat deception is in two ways. First of all, we have a teacher that resides in us, mm-hmm, the Holy Spirit himself. So he is there to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto us. So as we go through this life, we need to go through this life with a dependent attitude upon God's Spirit, who is alive, living in us, and to depend upon him to reveal truth to us. And then the second way is the Word of God.
Yes.
We have a written word that we can hold in our hands and have available to us. Well, the Holy Spirit, in combination with the Word of God, can anchor us to truth and give us a sense of discernment. And that's what we need to rely on, whether it's now or whether it's, you know, during the end times. And many would say we're already
yeah,
there. Of course, they were saying that, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And even the apostles, when they
yeah,
were writing, they were writing, you know, with this imminent return of Christ just hanging, lingering right,
yes,
right there. So they thought he could come back at any given moment. So we have to realize that, you know, whatever age that we're in, there's this spirit of Antichrist that is out there, but we have someone in us who is bigger than all of that, who can anchor our hearts and minds to truth.
Yes.
That's just great news.
It is. And it, notice, as you describe that, exactly what's going on. The Holy Spirit is revealing truth to us. He's not revealing error. He's revealing truth, and it's that truth and that being anchored in Christ that allows us to see the error for what it is, because it's just not Jesus. We don't have to spend a lot of time figuring out what the error is. Just spend our time focused on Jesus.
Absolutely. And let me end that conversation with one passage from the letter of 1 John. This is chapter 2, starting in verse 26. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Mm-hmm. So back in that day, there were people that had infiltrated the church who were trying to lead the Christians astray.
Yes.
So that was a problem, and that's one of the reasons that John wrote the letter. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Yes.
So what is the Spirit going to be teaching us in this day and age? To remain, to live in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To be anchored to him, to pin all of our hopes on his power and presence in this present age.
Yes.
Well, let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob and Richard. Good
Hello.
To talk to you again.
Great to talk with you as well.
Right, yeah, I was listening to your opening remarks. And it reminded me, I was born again at the age of 47, and from the age of 12 to 47, I smoked and drank and did various other things, shall we say, just as if it was nothing. And on the day I was born again, I lost all desire for any of that, haven't touched any of those things since that day. And that was a miracle in and of itself, given that I used to say that quitting smoking was the easiest thing in the world. I'd done it 1,000 times.
Yes.
Right. And since I was saved that day, I've learned that that's not everyone's experience. And I've learned it the hard way from people's personal testimony, still struggling with behaviors like that. But yesterday, your first caller, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I could have made that call myself 10 years ago. It sounded very similar to what I was going through. And finally, what God showed me was that what I thought was a string of bad luck or happenstance was actually, spiritual attack. And that the reason why I was coming under it was because he was about to do something through me. I was going to bear his fruit as a branch of the vine, and that the enemy was trying to discourage me from following through, from being obedient, and actually allow myself to be used as a living sacrifice. And when God opened my eyes to that reality, my very heavy discouragement that used to result from such attacks turned into encouragement. Because when it occurred, I realized, hey, something really, really cool is going to happen, and I get to be there to witness it.
Yeah.
And my whole attitude changed entirely. And I just like to suggest to that first caller yesterday that perhaps that's what he is experiencing, and for him to consider in prayer that perhaps that's why the things that are happening to him are happening.
Yeah. Well, William, great comments. Yes. I think really good insight there. You know, the enemy is not ourselves. And a lot of times we think that we're our own worst enemy. But once we've come to Christ, we have to recognize that we are of another kingdom, and we're just happening to live this new life in enemy territory. I mean, this world system, that's our enemy. The forces of darkness, those are our enemies, and those are enemies of the gospel as well. And so they have one purpose in mind. Satan has one purpose in mind, and that's to stop the work of Jesus Christ. He tried everything in his power to stop his birth from happening. He tried everything in his power to rid the world of Jesus, and he thought once Jesus died on a cross that it was done, that he had won the battle. But he learned differently 3 days later when Jesus was raised back to life. And we have to recognize who the real enemy is. It's not flesh and blood, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, but it's the spiritual forces of darkness. And those spiritual forces are continually placing temptations in front of us. And I think, as you said, William, we can take heart because we have one who lives in us who is greater than the one who is in the world. That's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I praise God every time that I fall prey to the lies coming at me and actually lend an ear to it. I praise God for Jesus that he took everything upon himself on the cross so that I could be set free from the law of sin and death. And I know that there's nothing that can separate me from him, and no one can snatch me from his hand. And that's walking in faith, isn't it?
That's exactly what walking in faith looks like. So, well, William, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for your keen insights.
You
we sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you would like to join today's broadcast, talk about what it's been like for you in the midst of trials and tribulations. How did Jesus Christ anchor you to truth and give you a foundation to walk through those trials? Tell us a little bit about some of your struggles. We would love to hear that on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742.
Here's an email from Tom, who listens to us on 570, The Mission. This gets, I think, right to the core of the question you're asking. He asks, is the Holy Spirit part of us once we are saved or only when we die?
Well, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us the moment we're saved.
Yes.
I mean, that's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Mm-hmm. So he's our hope.
Yes.
And we have that hope living inside of us. So that's not something that happens in the by and by. It's not something that happens when we die. We receive the gift of God's Spirit the moment that we're saved.
Yes.
It's interesting in the book of Galatians, and this was one of the big points of discussion and debate and argument back in the days of Christ. Would Gentiles receive the gift of the Holy Spirit just as the Jews did? And that's what happened the day of Pentecost. God poured out his Spirit upon mankind, and those who believed received the gift of God's Spirit. And then some weeks and months later, Peter went to Cornelius's house in Caesarea by the Sea, which was really a Roman town, where Pilate, the governor, stayed most of the time. So this was a Roman centurion. Peter walked into his house, which was against Jewish law, but he pronounced the good news of Jesus Christ. And right in the middle of him telling the good news story, the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius, his family, and all that were there. And so Peter witnessed. He said, wait a minute, they've received the same gift that we received. So they received the gift of God's Spirit. And since then, every person who has responded to that good news of Jesus Christ has received the gift of God's Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. Our spirits are made new, and then God deposits his Spirit inside of us. And so we see time and time again, Romans, God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we belong, that God has poured out his Spirit into our hearts. In Galatians chapter 4, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that we have received by faith the gift of God's Spirit.
Yes.
So it's good news. Well, let's go to Randy in Frisco, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Randy.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, what I want to say, back in the day when I was 19, you know, I was playing wine, women, and song, you know. I had a good job, I thought, working in the shipyard, and I was, you know, dealing drugs, you know, and had a lot of different girlfriends, you know. I didn't care about nobody. It was all about me, myself, and I. And I thought that, you know, that I was all that and a bag of chips, you know. And then, yeah.
And that bag of chips is important, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I went with my buddy Paul. We went to his, and these two girls that were friends of ours. And we went to go to his brother's house. And his brother had two ATCs at that time, the three-wheelers. They don't make them any longer. But because there was too many accidents on them, what happened was me. I used to race, I was, you know, I had my two-wheeler, my little 80, you know, that I thought I was a BMX, you know, motorcycle king. And then, so I, you know, my friend Lisa, she hurt her leg trying to ride that three-wheeler. And I said, stop it, Lisa, come on, watch, I'll show you how to do it. And so I started riding it, and I'm doing about, you know, about 40 miles an hour going up this, like, in a hill and out in the desert hills. And all of a sudden, down is coming a diesel truck, a water truck. And I turned the bike, and I flew head-on into the truck. I don't know, about a 60-mile-an-hour impact head-on. And I was in a coma for 2 months. A helicopter had to fly out there to pick me up.
Wow.
And take me to the hospital from there because I was out in the middle of nowhere.
So when you came out of the coma, you know, what was on your mind?
When I came out of the coma, I was like I was like a baby being born all over again, like mom, ma, and then my friend, and then my family said, well, here, all my friends were out there. Here's your friend Bill. So I started calling everybody Bill. I called my mom Bill, my girlfriend Bill, my friends everybody's Bill. Yeah, And then, you know, my buddy Dino came out there and said, hey, don't call me Bill, you know. And then I was only in the hospital for 5.5 months. I recovered so fast.
Wow.
My uncle, he at that time, he's the one that got me saved. And he was no one special as well. But, you know, he's the one that got me saved to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went and he got a hold of about 20 Christian brothers, and they had a prayer thing for me for about 2 or 3 hours straight, he said. And the next day I came out of the coma.
Wow. Randy, what a story.
Yeah.
And we certainly appreciate you sharing it today on Basic Gospel, and I pray that many of our listeners are deeply encouraged by the miracles that you experienced, yep. And the greatest of all, coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I'm sure you give praises to him every single day.
Amen. Amen. He allowed me to travel the world. I lived in Berlin, Germany. I was there when the wall went down, and I was there for 5 years, and I came back to America. I'm from California, but I now live in Texas. I work for the airlines, and, you know, and I'm out here, and the God is good. 24/7.
Yes, he is. Well, Randy, thank you so much for taking your time out and giving us a call. We certainly appreciate it. And
hey, well, God bless all of you and your family, and, you know, hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah is the word, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for being a part of this edition of the broadcast. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of your lives. As you've scanned across the dial and came up on the program, or listening via podcast, or on our app, phone app, however you're listening, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives. I want to thank all of you who, in the past couple of days, have been purchasing Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, either through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever it might be, or many of you spreading the word, getting the word out. It reached one of the bestseller lists on Amazon yesterday, the Kindle version, so that was exciting to see. But big thanks to all of you for helping get the word out about that book. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again on Monday for another live edition. So long, and have a great weekend.